Video that has raised the question of those that the FBI would like to speak with. I wouldn't characterize them as suspects under the technical term. There were no arrests made yesterday or persons held in custody.
Hello, the gatekeeper, Homeland Security Secretary, et cetera, et cetera. And we're still talking about Boston and the suspects. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Welcome to this version of it. Coming up in this hour, we're going to talk to Lisa Gibson. Lisa's brother was killed in 1988 on that Pan Am flight that blew up over Lockerbie, Scotland. And she's gone to Benghazi, the Sudan, you name it. She's been there. Conflict resolution. She's a terrorism expert. How she dealt with her brother's death and what she does to try to change things around in the world and some suggestions she has for people dealing with incredible grief and anger and everything else in light of what happened in Boston. The big story is the FBI releasing the video, the photos of the two suspect images, and then Napolitano comes around and adds to that little snippet you heard there, not characterizing them as suspects under technical terms. Then the question is, telling people, if you know anything, call. Here's the lines, the FBI lines. Don't do anything on your own. Just let people know that you know them. It could be your friend, your neighbor, your whatever. And somebody pointed out to me, what was interesting is they didn't take many questions. The FBI had a, we'll call it a press conference. They had a press conference late in the day on Thursday, released the video. They were looking for any information, anything that anybody could come up with related to these two pieces of video, or really one piece of video they kept showing over and over again, the images. But, you know, what was also interesting is there was no reward offered for any information leading to the arrest of these two guys, which is interesting because don't you think, I mean, this is what I think. And I hope they get them. I mean, listen, that's what I want to see. But this happened Monday. Now we're heading into the weekend. We're into the weekend. What are the odds that these two are not gone? If we want to go with homegrown, okay, fine. If we want to go with terrorist cell, okay. You think that the two are still somewhere in Boston? I'm going to say, no way. No way. Are they living anywhere in the U.S.? I mean, if they are living somewhere in the U.S., why wouldn't they have dropped a big reward for the information leading to the arrest? I think it makes some sense. I wonder. It's very, very, very curious. You might think I'm all wet on this. And please feel free to throw in your 2 cents at any time in this show. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283, and the agent in charge, the FBI special agent in charge, is Richard Delores, and he described the two men, what he was calling them, suspect one and suspect two, and you could clearly see one thing for sure. The more you look at the videotape and draw your own conclusions, it's obvious that they did a dry run. It's obvious that they were cool, confident, and not worried because they were carrying explosives, right? And they simply had, looks like they timed it out, went through to down to the finish line, and then waited once they detonated them almost simultaneously, calmly watched the carnage, and then left after that. So what's interesting is when they say somebody out there knows these individuals are friends, neighbors, coworkers, or family members, and then it might be difficult, but the nation is counting on those with information to come forward and provide it to us. Identifying those responsible is our highest priority, because three people were killed, 170 wounded, we know that, near the finish line of the Boston Marathon. Nobody, domestic, foreign, anybody, has claimed responsibility. Nobody has claimed responsibility. What are the odds? What are the odds that somebody is going to come forward and know something? I hope so. I hope somebody comes forward. And by the way, they kept saying this number over and over again, 1-800-CALL-FBI, anybody with information. That so many people went to the FBI website that it just, you couldn't even get on it. It was done. So many people were trying to log on, trying to see the video, whatever. You couldn't even get on, especially after they had just had that press conference. So I'm wondering, what kind of tips are they getting, and what are the real possibilities? You know, I said I would hate to see this turn into another 10-year deal where we're waiting for 10 years to get some kind of justice for what happened to those people on Monday in Boston. In the meantime, not too far from that finish line and that tragedy, now at MIT into the evening on Thursday, a police officer was fatally shot near a building on that university's campus. There, the police officer was responding to some kind of a disturbance when he was shot dead. And they're looking for any information, of course, on anything leading to what could be an arrest with this, too, as well. Some people are trying to make the connection that the two could be related. It doesn't seem like that to me. And all they'll say is the situation on the website is extremely dangerous. And they were telling people to stay indoors if they were on campus and to stay away from campus if they were somewhere outside of the bounds of MIT and wanted to come back in. So nothing, I think there's nothing necessarily related to the two things. It's just interesting and sad that this happened a mile from where the bombs went off on Monday. We know this, too, that the Boston fatalities, sadly, you know, when something like this happens, it's just wrong place, wrong time. You have the little boy, the woman, and the grad student, and then all the others, the faces with stories about running for the first time, always being there, all that kind of stuff. To me, it is so much about the people, the stories, the faces behind the incident. If we are drawing conclusions and we're trying to ultimately get the people responsible, absolutely, but at the same time, not forget the victims of this. I mean, it's not just about numbers, for goodness sake. It's about people and the carnage and the scene and what it looked like, just absolutely devastating. All right, coming up next, Lisa Gibson was devastated when her brother was killed flying back from London, just trying to get back to the United States. Her story next here on America Tonight.
Prepared against possible food shortages and economic collapse is not complicated. Just remember two words, disaster stuff. Add.com after those two words and you've got just one site for all your preparedness needs. DisasterStuff.com prepares your family against food shortages with Linden Farms freeze-dried foods in buckets or Gourmet Reserves freeze-dried food in number 10 cans, both with free shipping. Purify and rid your water of contaminants with a Big Berkey or other Berkey. Berkey system and get free shipping, plus a water level spigot or fluoride filter at cost. And protect your radios and other electronics from EMPs with our EMP Faraday bags, starting at just $5.90. When the food shortages and economic instability happens, be ready with all your stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Just remember two words, DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Big news tonight, of course, is the FBI releasing the photographs of some persons of interest, people who they believe were involved in the bombing at the Boston Marathon. In the wings is Lisa Gibson. She lost her brother in the 1988 bombing of Pan Am Flight 103 over Scotland. And since then, she's become really a terrorism expert. And what I think is really fascinating, very cool, is that she does conflict resolution training in places like Afghanistan, Libya, think of Libya, Iraq, Sudan, and probably some other places as well. Lisa, thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
So when you see something like what happened at the Boston Marathon, you see those images, what's your initial reaction to that?
You know, it's actually, in some ways, it's almost re-traumatizes me a little bit. I found myself really immediately empathizing with the family members and what they might be experiencing, the emotions, the confusion that will continue for days and weeks and maybe even months afterwards while they're trying to figure out who's responsible. So it was really, a lot of ways, brought up a lot of the same emotions I felt back in 1988.
Yeah. And the and when your brother, if you say you go back and you feel that, you go back to 88, what, once you get over, and how do you ever get over, but once you go through the initial shock period and the grieving and all that, how long did it take you to say, wow, I want justice, or I want some change, or I want to get involved, I want to do something? How long did that take?
You know, actually, for me, it happened in the midst of my grieving process. I kind of immediately went to this place of, how do I prevent something like this from happening again? Because I guess I realized that I couldn't bring my brother back, but maybe, if I learned the roots of terrorism and why people engage in this behavior, maybe I could actually do something to prevent a future act of terrorism later down the road.
Yeah. So take us to the point where, and of course this made huge headlines, when you actually met Libya's leader, the time Muammar Gaddafi. What was that like for you?
That was a meeting that had been about maybe 20 years in the making. I had actually gone on a personal reconciliation trip to Libya in 2004. It was kind of my effort to kind of take the next step in healing and realizing that kind of my tendency as a human was to sort of look at the Libyan people and maybe demonize them all as being terrorists. And I didn't want that to be the case. So I went on a trip in 2004 hoping to meet the people so I could begin to see them differently. But I also requested to meet with Gaddafi at the time. He chose not to, but I knew at one point I'd have that opportunity. And so I started a nonprofit called the Peace and Prosperity Alliance that got me involved in doing humanitarian and education projects in Libya. And then eventually, after years of serving there and building relationships with the Libyan government, I had the opportunity to meet him in 2009 when he came to speak at the UN. And it was really kind of a surreal meeting, to be honest. I could tell that the timing was right, though, because when I sat with the man, I mean, I really felt a sense of peace. Which had to have been something that had come through the years of trying to figure out how to not only find justice, but also to forgive. And so I had a sense of peace meeting with him that it really was more about communicating a message that even though you've responded in a hateful way and in wickedness towards my family and other family members, I'm going to choose to sort of take the moral high ground and reach out in forgiveness. And that really was the message that was communicated to him, as well as the story that went around the world.
Yeah. And then, of course, that happens, and you fast forward a couple of years later, and you see what happened in Libya and what was going on with the people, and ultimately the death of Gaddafi. And I would imagine that's almost like full circle for you.
Yeah, actually, I had been in Libya during the revolution. In fact, I spoke at a rally in Benghazi in Freedom Square on the day that the International Court actually issued the arrest warrant for him. So in many ways, it was that to me actually was kind of the circle of closure for me as I stood on the stage and was able to just sort of bring a word of encouragement to other people who were still suffering at the hands of Gaddafi and just to let them know that I had lost a loved one. I wanted to come there to stand with them in their time and to help in any way possible. And for me, it was like very profound. I felt like it was kind of the circle of reconciliation came to a close.
Yeah. What would you say the, you know, so much of the conversation we started off talking about Boston and your feelings when you saw what happened there. There's going to be a lot of people who are dealing with a lot of things, loss and incredible loss with the people that have barely survived. And of course, the people that died in this, including the 8-year-old boy, just so sad for that family who's dealing with two different injuries. And can you imagine? What would you tell the people that were in the middle of that?
I mean, I think the most important thing that the people are going to need is to give themselves time to grieve, not only the loss of their family members for those that lost loved ones, but just to the loss of the ideal. I mean, the Boston Marathon is an event that's, you know, a very happy and, you know, it's an event that's gone on for years. And in some ways, it's going to paint their view of things like that and cause people to sort of shrink back in fear. And the most important thing to understand is really at the heart of terrorism is to create fear and chaos. So that's the reason they target innocent people is to try to create chaos. And so the most important thing is in the midst of your grieving and sorrow is to feel the fullness of it, but also refuse to be crippled with fear. And because that would just allow the terrorists to win. And that's kind of been the posture that I've tried to encourage people. Yes, you can feel the reality of what happened, but ultimately move beyond that to realize that it's not something that everybody in a particular ethnic group or cultural group are a part of. And hopefully we'll be able to move forward a little bit easier.
Yeah, the things that you've learned in becoming a terrorism expert and especially working with conflict resolution, it has to be, when you go into some of the places that you've gone in, and I just mentioned a few of them, the Sudan, and certainly we know what's going on in the Sudan. Is there a certain fear that you kind of feel when you're in certain places initially, or no, you have a way to get to a calm place and to try to help people?
Well, I mean, because of the kind of work that I do, I mean, I'm going into countries that are in either the midst of war or coming out of a conflict. It's going to be unstable. Like, I was in Benghazi in December, just this past December. That was only a couple months after they assassinated our ambassador.
Yeah.
And it's continued to destabilize since then. So it was definitely not stable when I went there. But I really feel this compelling need to take the message to places where there are, you know, terrorist activities and things on a daily basis, that there is a different way. And I think that's what fuels me is, you know, going to Afghanistan and going to Libya and going to places where they've lived in a culture of revenge, and showing them there's another way to resolve conflict. Because I've heard their feedback and I've had them say, you know, you have to come back, we have to train more people. I realize that I may risk my life, but in the end, it's worth it.
And in training people, what are some of the things that you tell them to just, because that's hard, you know, to push the revenge aside. This is awful, what's happening and what has gone on and maybe what happened to your family. But how do you get them to that place where they can make the leap to get away from revenge?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of the cultural things are built into living under an oppressive regime. Most of the countries that I'm going into have lived under an oppression. And so they've never been empowered or had freedom or had anything. And so there's a lot of fear, paranoia of each other. In fact, getting them to talk to one another, and this idea of mediation is to talk through conflict, is very scary because it was never okay. But yet, in I think the deep heart of who they are as humans, they realize there's got to be a better way. But I remember when I first trained in Libya, the first question I asked was, well, how do you currently resolve conflicts in Libya? And they said, we all have guns. So it was a very real, honest answer. But I think in their humanness, they realize that there is another way, and they want to find an effective way to do that.
And is this, you know, is it gender specific? I mean, is it different when you're talking to the men in different cultures versus the women, or you try to sort of make it all one for all?
Actually, I think in many ways, I mean, how they may retaliate may be a little different. We talk about the difference between a retaliatory cycle and a conciliatory cycle. That's really the heart of more peaceful conflict resolution. And so the two types of the retaliatory cycle would be fight or flight. And so women often may tend to flight more than fight, but some women are fighters, and a lot of it has to do with their culture, their family of origin, I mean, all kinds of things. And you just really can't put one person in the box. You have to take them at their individual level and just show them skills to work through conflicts more effectively.
Yeah. Great stuff, Lisa. Thanks so much. Pick up her book, Life in Death, A Journey from Terrorism to Triumph. I think she really filled us in on some amazing things that she's doing, certainly, and getting over that and coming full circle. Lisa, thanks.
Thanks for having me.
To have a fighting chance against cold and flu bugs, get the world's best garlic extract, Allicin Plus C. Fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi with Allicin Plus C. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allicin Plus C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allicin Plus C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allicin Plus C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allicin Plus C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allicin Plus C. To order, call 855-ALLICIN. That's 855-255-4246. Or go to AllicinPlus.com, spelled AllicinPlus.com. Get Allicin Plus C from Affinity Health Products.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Prepper Fest AZ Expo is coming April 26th through 28th at the Scottsdale 101 Shopping Center and will feature over 80 free self-reliance training classes. Get tips about long-term food storage, discover how to thrive while living off the grid. Experts will share their secrets of safe and simple water purification, innovative herbal remedies, aquaponics, organic food solutions, portable solar power, wilderness survival, and more. For more info, visit PrepperFestAZ.com and come on out April 26th through 28th to the Scottsdale 101 Shopping Center at Scottsdale Road and the Loop 101 Freeway. This Prepper Expo will be fun for the whole family with a petting zoo and other kid-friendly activities. Discover how permaculture and ham radio will enhance your self-reliance. Learn how to do it yourself, survive a disaster, save money, and save a life. Be sure to mark your calendar Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, April 26th, 27th, and 28th. For information and tickets, visit PrepperFestAZ.com. Over 80 free self-reliance training classes. PrepperFestAZ.com.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance, please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
I love you, baby.
And let me tell you, a lot of you had plenty to say about the video stream that was released of the two suspects when it came to the Boston Marathon. The two dangerous suspects is what how I think they termed it. Also, storms in the Midwest. Some of you whining to me about how wintry it was in your neck of the woods. In fact, Nathan Reeder is at our mothership, the GCN hub, if you will, the plush studios that air America Tonight and many other shows. And Nathan, if you were to look out the window, it's pretty snowy there, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
how much snow?
It's kind of slowed down, dropping stuff, but there's probably about 4 inches today, something like that.
4 inches. I mean, I guess in Minnesota, you never say never. I mean, you just keep that shovel in the back of your closet just in case, right?
I was talking to someone about how I don't feel like this is weird. And he was like, it was not this way last year. It was, like, so hot. And then, in reality, the couple years before that, it was definitely snowing this late.
So. I'm sorry. April 19th, that is late, my friend. April 19th. I mean, we're, like, deep into the spring.
Barely, really. In Minnesota, no. That spring is, like, so compressed.
I love it. All right, so many of you complaining about the weather, let's go to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Thanks. And this one from Alex, who is listening to us in Illinois. Alex says, Kate, I am sick of water, water, water. Flash floods, baby. I don't know if you watched anything or saw anything about Chicago, but we're practically floating in the river. This rain is ridiculous. Help. I do know about the rain in Chicago. I have a good friend that lives there that said it's been unbelievable. There have been these brutal thunderstorms, and the winds and stuff too also was part of the problem in Chicago. You know, in the wintertime they have ropes down Michigan Avenue. People thought I was joking when I said that because I used to go to Chicago a lot, and the rope is in case you're going to get blown over. You can hang on to the rope as you're fighting the wind going down Michigan Avenue. There's just something that says to me, I don't need to be on this street if I have to hold a rope that's on the ground for me to make my way all the way up to wherever it is I'm getting these city blocks. Forget that. So anyway, the National Weather Service says that you could get a foot of snow in northeastern Minnesota by Friday. That's how bad the snow situation is. There is massive floodings, like Alex was saying, that is just swallowing up streets in Illinois and Chicago. Just awful, awful, awful. And it's other parts of the Midwest too are getting absolutely slammed. Whether it's tornadoes in Missouri, or whether it's hail in Oklahoma, or Wisconsin, or Michigan, lots and lots, by the way, of flood watches too. And the Mississippi River, they're really monitoring that because 17 gauges, that's what they have along the river. This is kind of cool factoid. To monitor the water is already showing major flooding as predicted. They're worried about the overflow there. And they're also saying that throughout the weekend, there's a chance of more rain. Yikes. Not good. Let's move to our next one. This one from Sam, who says, hello, Ms. Delaney. I'll tell you what, it is so disturbing what is happening with this whole bombing at the marathon on Monday. Now, finally, the FBI, they must be at wit's end. There has to be something more to the story to release the video snippets that they did, saying these are the suspects. Think of the time in between, then asking if these are your friends or neighbors or coworkers. Don't be afraid. Please call us, even though it's maybe difficult. Because the images show two dudes that blend in, let's face it, in baseball caps, jackets, walking through the crowd of the busy day on Monday, clearly with backpacks. One raises his arm to lift the backpack off his shoulder, but then the view is kind of obstructed. He sets the backpack down. You have to know he's the guy. They were very calm, cool, collected, knew what they were doing. I'm sorry. I'm taking the PC gloves off. Maybe they won't be foreign nationals out to destroy us, some kind of Al-Qaeda cell, but it certainly looks that way. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but that's what it looks like to me. These dudes are long gone. You know, my concern is these dudes are long gone, and it very well could be that. You know, you look at the faces, and tough to tell. Could be someone from the Middle East. Could be a Saudi. Who knows? I mean, we don't know. We don't know. But I know that this call the FBI, 1-800-CALL-THE-FBI, give us a tip, whatever. They're grasping at straws or something. And they're going to get flooded, and they already are flooded on their tip line. They say that they think the suspects are still in the United States. They think they're in the United States. I think they're not in the United States. But I hope they are. I mean, hey, if I'm going to be the cockeyed optimist, I want them to get them. I want them to nail them. And the FBI isn't releasing very much information, just a few little things. That's it. Then saying don't encounter, if you encounter them, don't try to encounter them. If you know who they are, that kind of stuff, blah, blah, blah. I mean, three people dead, including that 8-year-old boy, sad story, 176 wounded and really wounded, talking about people with limbs that were blown off after those backpacks were, you know, were dropped there. And, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe somebody comes up with it. Maybe he's wrong and, you know, who knows. But at this point, it's all about what do you know? How can we find out more? And let's track them down, whatever it is. Whatever. Whatever it is. All right, Rick from Illinois in the wings. Hello, Rick. How are you?
Crazy week, huh?
It's a really crazy week. You have the thing going on in Boston, plus the MIT deal. The campus police died. The guy that was shot, they've got a suspect cornered. So there's craziness going over there just a mile from the marathon. Then the fertilizer plant that was hit with all kinds of violations blows up. People, they're still looking for people. It's crazy.
And that everybody's overlooked that.
The ricin, we talked about that, the guy out of Mississippi, sure, who sent it through the mail, and that's highly poisonous. There's no antidote for that if that gets out in the air, so yeah. Nuts. A rough week in the United States, plus American Airlines with all of the flights that were grounded with the crazy glitch in the Sabre system, which is the company that handles the reservations and everything for American.
Yeah. Those pictures they released of those two guys looking for, I don't know how come their parents ain't speaking up. They should recognize them, shouldn't they?
Oh, well, sure. If there's somebody from the United States, if you're saying if there's somebody from the United States and that's your kid, oh, well, of course, but we don't know that. We don't know who they are. We don't know if they are from someplace else. We don't know if they're on expired student visas or there's somebody local or there's somebody from Boston or somebody from some other place. I think, though, it's wishful thinking that, because to me, the FBI was so all over this from the beginning. If they were easy to get, they would have gotten them. So I think they were well-trained. That makes me think there's more to the story. And I don't believe they're in Boston at all.
Yeah. They said they seen that one on his cell phone. That's how they got his name, I guess. The fact that they made the phone call straight down that way.
Yeah.
I'm sure they know who it is. They got the name.
Well, let's hope. Let's hope that there's some huge break in this case. Rick, man, I would love it. I would love it for those people going through this. It's just terrible. And we talked about this. We talked to, you know, somebody who was in the race, who Robert Siciliano, who's been on the show many times, and listening to his description is just bone-chilling. Yes, all I was thinking about was my wife and two kids and my father and sister-in-law, because they're waiting for me at the finish line, and I'm on my personal best time, and then this thing explodes, and who cares? All bets are off. I just want them out of there, and I'm concerned. So we need to know the other side. It's always about getting the culprit anyway, especially in some heinous, awful act. Think of the DA that was slaughtered in Texas, he and his wife, and the assistant DA prior to that, a couple months before that. Well, you had signs everywhere in Texas, you know, like the flashing deals when they put up an Amber Alert. They were showing the DA's picture. Anybody who knows anything, FBI was all over the place, because originally it was thought that it had something to do with the Aryans, you know, the Aryan race in the prison system, and it didn't. But more importantly, it was about, hey, you don't kill some of ours, and we got to find out who did this. Turns out it was somebody who was local, was fired for stealing computer monitors, who was a justice of the peace, sadder than sad, and it's capital murder charges against he and his wife. But it was a push to find out information to get the person responsible. That's the big concern. Hang with us. I'm chipping it over to the other side. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Order today at 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Is this the year you finally get serious about your family's drinking water? If so, keep listening for a special offer from Big Berkey Water Filters. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated? Berkey Water Filters distinguish themselves from many other filtration systems with the capability to significantly reduce dangerous chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, and disinfection byproducts from municipal water via the Black Berkey and PF line of filters. Then there's affordability. At only 1.7 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify treated and untreated water, even stagnant pond water. Stop and think how much money you could save by simply reducing buying bottled water and using water filtered by your Berkey water filter. No need to be constantly replacing expensive filters with a Berkey. A single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. Choose the best size Berkey for your needs at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And right now, all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Just call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Free shipping on every order over $50. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
To see you when I wake up is a gift I didn't think could be real. To know that
we're looking to see how many people are able to get out safely, and to see who is wanting to stay in their residences at this point. The residents have to kind of communicate with us whether or not they want to stay or go. We can't make them or force them to do anything.
All right, so now there we are talking about the weather in Illinois, the flooding, and it's bad. It's not bad just it's bad not just in Chicago, but elsewhere. So on top of some other things that are going on, weather is wreaking havoc with a lot of people, without a doubt. Typical of America, tonight we're mixing it up in a couple of different directions. Kate Delaney, happy to be the skipper here with all of you. You want to vent? Here's the place, 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. Our pal Pete in Texas, listening to us on KYXL. Hello, Peter. How are you?
Is this the pole princess?
It is, and so many people have no idea. When you say that, it sounds so funny. I love it.
I just wanted to comment on one of your from the mailbag. Are you still there?
I'm here.
Okay. You had a had an individual call last night and say, why do you need all those rounds or shells or bullets?
Right.
Okay. Well, you know what we do? We go to the range and we practice.
And shoot and shoot and shoot. Yeah.
Shoot and shoot and shoot and get good at what we like. Just it's just like any other hobby. You go out, you shoot, you have a good time, and you go to the house. You don't spend, you know, an hour at the sporting goods store grabbing 50 rounds. My word, I go through 50 rounds in about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You're looking at 300, 400 rounds, and then you get to go home and clean that mess up off your firearm.
You know what? It's funny you say that, Pete, because I have a friend, I have a girlfriend who is a great shot, and she decided that she wanted to get the concealed and carry. She went through the whole permit thing with a bunch of our other friends, and she said this very same thing to me just yesterday. She was getting bullets delivered, and people, one of her neighbors, took the stuff in and said, "What? For goodness sake, why do you need all that?" And she said exactly what you said, because this is my hobby, and because I want to be proficient, and I like it, and we go to the range, and I'm not just shooting off 15 rounds, 10, what do you think? I put a few bullets, like it's like a cartoon. I put a few bullets in the chamber, and then I go home. It's like Dirty Harry. I hit the bullseye, and that's it.
Yeah, what we do is we do combat shoots. We hit moving targets.
Yes.
We run, you know, we run around. We hide behind things. And at the very end, when you're very winded, I take my rifle, and there's a 3x5 card, and I've got to hit that card.
Yeah, you want to hit that card, yeah.
Yeah, because that is the hostage terrorist, if you will, situation. You put it right beside something that you don't want to shoot, and then you're sitting there blowing and trying to get your heart rate right, and relax after you've been running, and then you pull the trigger and hope for the best on that 3x5 card.
Mm-hmm.
I have shot many a hostage.
But you know what? Actually, Pete, it makes sense. This is a good call. It makes sense because also then you are more proficient, like she said to me, with your weapon. When your live targets are tough. If you were in that situation that you needed to defend somebody, yourself, whatever, you have to be able to confidently aim, shoot, and fire. Otherwise, you're a goner.
Yeah, and here's another analogy. You've seen these fishing shows where that guy throws the lure right up next to a stump or something like that.
Yeah.
What you think that just happens, you know, that happens every time? No, they sit out there in that boat, or they sit out in their front yard and sit there and flip and flip and flip that lure.
You're right.
And you've got to get good at what your hobby is. You know,
exactly.
My dad's always told me, if you're going to do something, do it to the best of your ability.
Yeah.
And I'm good at shooting, so that's what I like to do. And
right.
So I buy 1,000 rounds, you know, and go shoot them. I spend them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's
it. That's the answer to the woman's question from the mailbag last night.
Yeah, that was great. I'm glad you were listening and you called in. That's good. Good stuff, Pete. Thanks.
All right. I'll talk to y'all later.
All right. You have a good weekend. He makes a great point. Just like my friend saying the very same thing. Think of the moving target. Think of what I say on the air when I want responsible, you know, hey, we want responsible gun owners. We want people who have pride in what they're doing. In other words, they like it as a hobby. They're comfortable and they know what they're doing. It's just like, you know, I had two uncles since Pete took us down this path. And the two uncles had a few things in common. You know, one, they were from the school of hard knocks. My great-grandmother, bootstrap, you got to make your way. So they come back from the war, and these are great uncles. They come back from the war. They both open dry cleaners. They kill themselves, open dry cleaners, and are doing pretty good. They're in different parts of town. And they both like to fish and boat and that stuff. So that's going to be their fun thing that they're going to kill themselves to get. And they both get boats. My Uncle Dick, getting in the boat with him was like taking your life in your own hands because he wasn't very proficient with the boat. It's like he didn't read the instructions. But my Uncle Ray, you were totally, if a tsunami was coming your way, he'd get you away from it somehow. So I liked to go with Uncle Ray because he read the directions. He knew everything about the motor and could take it apart. He was the guy that you wanted to be in his boat. You wanted to be there because he really cared and really took care of the boat and knew how to use it, how to dock it, how to get us out where we were fishing for bluefish and how to find the bluefish and all that other kind of stuff. So Pete makes a lot of sense when he's talking about, it's a good answer to the mailbag, why do you need all those rounds? And then that's not what you think of necessarily on top of your head, because the analogy was, and what they were talking about with limiting rounds is, okay, if somebody is going to go out and they want to terrorize or do a mass shooting, now they have all these mags, which, okay, they do, but why do people need that many? He's exactly right about that. For the most part, that's what we're talking about. People that are doing this for fun or doing target practice or just getting more proficient or, you know, a myriad of other things for sure. A couple of quick side notes here as we get ready to skedaddle from this hour. Police in Watertown, Massachusetts, they're searching for suspects in the gun battle because the MIT police officer sadly died. Supposedly there was a suspect that was cornered and they closed off the campus, concerned of people coming in and out and hoping that they would be able to track down whatever had really happened here. There was a disturbance and he responded and then was shot and he was killed. He died at the hospital, and you know, they're all over this obviously to try to figure out some of the things that led up to the shooting and all that kind of stuff. So the shooting comes on the heels of the twin bombings at the Boston Marathon, and this city, man, there's increased security like you wouldn't believe. I heard from a few people that live there that it's just, you don't even want to be in downtown Boston because it's just tighter than a drum now at this point, that everybody with a windbreaker, pretty much it says FBI. You know, it's not saying Nike or other things like that. That's Boston right now, as they're trying to find any leads to anybody connected to what happened there on Monday, and now throw in the MIT thing, and geez, how sad is that? And then, of course, with the fertilizer plant, at this point, there still is a search, believe it or not, to make sure everybody is accounted for to the best of their ability. So there are a lot of people that are combing an unbelievable radius of this fertilizer plant explosion in West Texas. That's the name of the town. There are dozens of people who are dead, and there are so many people that were injured by this. Just an enormous blast. It's like a community just wiped out, because you got to think, less than 3,000 people, everybody knows some connection to somebody that was caught up in what happened at the fertilizer plant. Rough week, folks. Hug your loved ones.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "When the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty." Our God-given right to life and liberty, and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our family's health, are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter. Sitting passively by and accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338.